And welcome back to episode 148 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Oh, Carl, how are you doing, my friend?
I am busy, very busy, but
busy,
surviving.
Good. Same here. Dose of the whatever the lurgy has gone. Normal service has resumed, and also our normal service has resumed with the Tech Rant podcast in terms of the stories that we've got this week. We are going to give you the latest from the FTX car crash court case. I think that's probably the best way to describe it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The was it the several billion dollars worth of crypto which went south and, well, you know,
lost coming back so far?
I think it might have been. Well, we've got the latest from that and the first convictions that have come from that trial. We'll come talking about it next. We've also got the latest updates from the Apple Scary Fast event, which took place last week, where we had announcements on the iMac, which was probably about the only thing I got right in a while, as well as several other things. We're going to talk X. We're going to talk smart meters, Qualcomm's new Snapdragon X, as well as Apple's Buy Now, Pay Later, which I thought was already released, but apparently technically wasn't, as well as one game released this week with Forza Motorsport, and the Tech Rant rumor mill, of course, is back as per normal. But let's kick things off then with FTX then. So on the 2nd of November, Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF as he has been known recently, was sentenced, wasn't he? Was convicted. Sentences to come. He was convicted in the fraud trial, wasn't it? The fraud trial. He's been found guilty of fraud, which saw him try and defend himself against the claims that FTX, his crypto exchange, and also the claims against Alameda Research were really not his fault, was it? And he hadn't really committed any wire fraud.
I know nothing.
What was it? Seven charges, including wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering. And he'll be sentenced next year in March and possibly faces... It does, but he possibly faces over 100 years in prison, which I never really understand that, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I had written down decades, but that's a lot of decades. Okay, yeah. Wow. That's just crazy. But you're right. I think it's going to serve as a warning, isn't it? But the jury did not take long to convict him, did they? What, 4.5 hours?
4.5 hours, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So that was pretty much, he's guilty. You know, let's get a cup of tea and a coffee.
It pretty much was like that, wasn't it? They did not take long. Now, also his co-conspirators, which was his former roommates, who's also a guy called Gary Wang, who's the co-founder, as well as his former girlfriend, wasn't it? Can't think of her name. Ellison, wasn't it? I can't think of her first name.
I think it's her last name, yeah. I can't remember her name.
She also is awaiting sentencing. So Wang, Singh, Ellison are all awaiting sentencing next year as well. But it seems that SBF is the one that he's gone down. Now, his defense really was that he had failed to operate a high-risk business. And he also denied, didn't he, that he was supervising any of the updates on the trading platform, including the one that allowed Alameda to spend $65 billion in credit on their research side of things, wasn't it?
Rubbish.
Absolute chaos, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely rubbish.
And then he was originally under house arrest. He went back to jail in August because he violated his bail conditions, which is brilliant, which included, wait for this, leaking the diary entries of his former girlfriend. That was it, Caroline Ellison. That was it.
Yes. Who
she also pleaded guilty to federal charges. I mean, talk about an idiot. I mean, the guy is just a complete fool, isn't he, really?
Yeah, but you get those guys, and they always seem to do very, very well. I just don't understand it. Well, not doing so well now, but I mean... Yeah, he was at one point.
Not really. I mean, if you think about this whole trial, it came by, and really the whole thing unwound, didn't it? Because of that deal that was meant to be done with, what was the other crypto exchange? Binance, wasn't it? And the whole ring around, you know, the whole thing around that piece around Binance that kind of unwound, really, didn't it? And it was around the blurring of funds and the guy who runs Binance, I think his name is Zhao, wasn't it, said he was going to pull out of the kind of the work they were doing with the FTX, and really that kind of was just like pulling on the string, unraveled the whole house of cards that appeared to be FTX. And again, what we discovered was another Ponzi scheme, really, wasn't it, ultimately?
Yeah. Where's all the money, though? You guarantee there's large pots of money hidden around, isn't there?
Yeah, and really, what we discovered was that you had a cryptocurrency which was propping up a trading house Almeida, what did she call it? Almeida Research, wasn't it? And Almeida was basically trading off the crypto that people had in the exchange. Absolute, complete, utter nuts. And it was a scam because also FTX had made up another coin, hadn't they? Another crypto
they had their own coin.
Yeah, which again was very similar to the whole one coin thing that we talked about previously with Dr. Ruger again, which was another Ponzi scheme. You know, it's just absolutely bananas that these things continue to happen. And this guy's going to go away for a long time, though I'm sure he'll try and do some deals before that happens in the sentencing, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
But this guy's going to go away for a long time. And again, you know, how long do you give it for the next one? You know?
I don't know. I mean, they give a long enough sentence, maybe that might put people off, but I think there's always chances, aren't there?
Let's say he gets the rumored 100 plus years in prison, which again, you know, nobody goes to prison for 100 plus years because, sorry, you don't live that long.
No.
They should do what we do here in the UK, isn't it? Which is concurrent sentencing, where they run obviously alongside it, but I guess he wouldn't go to prison for a long time then, really, would he?
No, probably not. It'll be interesting to see whether there's any fines. Not that I'm sure how he'll pay it back without revealing his money.
Well, didn't his parents have to sell the house they were in, didn't they? I think that was one of the things.
The house they bought was stolen money.
Well, yeah. Yes, the house
allegedly. Allegedly.
I don't think any of it's alleged now. I think it's all pretty clear.
I'm still just covering my bases.
I think if you've been convicted or found guilty, I think no one. The alleged part has gone out the door, hasn't it?
Well, I'm talking about where their funds for the house came from.
Oh, well, yes. Fair play with that. Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, they did have to sell it, yeah. No, very nice property in the Bahamas.
Oh, dear. Right. So we'll give you the latest. We'll probably give you some updates of that later next year when the sentencing happens for all of them, including SBF and his co-conspirators as well. Right then, let's move on then to Apple's scary fast Mac event, which was held on the evening... the evening before Halloween, was it the 30th of October?
It did. This was a roller coaster because we had this down as a rumor, and then it wasn't a rumor, and then it was a full on event, and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, but a full on event held at a really weird time, wasn't it? So it was held
in New York, wasn't it?
Yes, but it was still filmed from Apple Park on an iPhone 15, yeah. But was shown, as you say, Eastern 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Or midnight for us.
Basically midnight for us.
Yeah, we did not watch midnight, that live.
more than midnight, like early hours of the for us, really. So really, odd timing for an Apple event. Do you not agree?
Very, very, yeah. It's always like 9 a.m., isn't it? California time.
Usually, yeah. 9 a.m.
It works at about 6 p.m. for us, doesn't it?
It does. And there was nobody on this one. It was no kind of probably invited in person. It was all done as a slick Apple event, as per normal. Yeah. But it was kind of weird because there was things here announced that we didn't expect to be announced, did they?
Yeah. Well, now, we thought we were getting an iMac, didn't we?
Yeah, I was just saying, the cold open, I mentioned the iMac, we kind of guessed was coming. It'd been nearly, 3 years since that was released?
Yeah, and that was still running, the M1, isn't it? It never got an M2 refresh.
It never got an M2. It came out. So give us a rundown then, really, of the top things, and we'll go through them. So what do we get then?
Okay, so obviously we got the iMac, all right? It's the iMac you know and love. Nothing has changed, other than you've now got an M3, and we'll talk about the M3 then. It's only M3. You don't get a Pro or Max, so you're kind of limited to... I think 24 gig of RAM maximum and 2 terabyte SSD, but we'll talk about the chip a bit later. We got new MacBook Pros. Was not expecting that.
No.
Again, exactly the same design. You got the M3 up to 24 gig and 2 terabyte. You got the Pro and Max. If you went for the Max, you could have 128 gig of RAM and 8 terabyte SSD.
Yeah, we'll cover that, I guess, in a second. But yeah, right. We got one hell of a spec upgrade, didn't we? On the MacBook Pro.
And if you jump for the Max one, I think, or maybe in Pro, you can get it in matte black now.
Nice. But no more space grey.
No, I think you still got space grey too.
No, they ditched space grey in replacement of space black.
Oh, I think you only got space black on some of the models.
Oh, well, the top end, yes. Yeah. So,
the top
end.
Good, so you still get space grey on the, if you go for like a lower standard end. M3 one, you know what I mean? Yeah, but then obviously we got the M3, which I think was the kind of biggest announcement. It was a bit of a mixed bag, I think, performance-wise and what you got. You know, as you mentioned, you got the Pro and Max release. We didn't get the Ultra announced, did we?
No, so I was a bit surprised by it. So the M3 probably wasn't as big a shock as expected, because typically we'd have got the base model M3 now. The Pro and Max ones are usually released later on, aren't they?
Than what we had now.
But
a bit of a surprise there to get those.
A bit of a surprise. But we've basically got the M3 release. So the M3 is a new 3-nanometer chip, which is, you know, the same as the A17s. Yeah. But this takes the silicon lineup really into its next phase, isn't it, really? So, and alongside that, as you say, we've got the M3, the M3 Pro, and the M3 Max, which have all been released at the same time. What's interesting here, though, is we've got slightly different spec bumps, haven't we?
We have.
Compared to the M2 generation. So the M3 has a base 10-core GPU, which also has up to 24 gig of unified memory, and you can support one external display.
8-core CPU, isn't it?
Sorry, yes, 10-core GPU, the other CPU, sorry, as well. So really kind of, and Apple claims is up to 35% faster CPU than the M1, isn't it? And up
to not 60, the M2, we're not comparing to the M2.
No.
It's the M1.
And up to 65% faster on the graphics performance than the M1 as well. Again, supports this odd 24 gig of memory that we get. Then we bump it up to the M3 Pro, which has got the 12-core CPU with 6 performance cores, 6 efficiency, and an 18-core GPU. Now, what was that? 40% faster than the M1 Pro and 30% faster than the M1 in single thread gains. And again, you're right, no M2 comparison. And again, we're up to 36 gig of memory on the M3 Pro. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And the M3 Max jumps up to 16-core CPU with 12 P cores and 4 E cores and a 40-core GPU, which, according to Apple, is a whopping 50% faster than the M1 Max. Yeah. And then to the bit that kind of really surprised everybody, which you said, was 128 gig of unified memory.
Because it used to be 96.
They did.
So they've changed the memory config somehow.
This is humongous. Now, I did hear something interesting about the chips here, was that Apple have been doing different binning on the chips, haven't they? So for the Pro and the Max, effectively were the same chips, weren't they, really? But they were binned in the sense that some of them had so many cores that were working, some of them didn't. But the interesting thing here, if you notice with these two, that you need to, if you spec up the memory, you have to spec up the performance of the chips, you have to spec up the memory as well to get the higher gains.
Yeah.
And I've read some interesting things to say that actually the binning here also includes the memory chips as well.
Right, okay.
Because if you look at the weird numbers, we've got the 24, the 36. But if you go up to the higher spec, you get the traditional 4x memory. You know,
because 36 isn't a traditional memory size. 32, no. Yeah, sure.
But nor was 96 as 48. So we had 96, 48 gig of RAM as well.
Yeah.
They weren't traditional specs. They were, whereas if you go in the fours, you get 64.
At least 96 was a 64.
Sorry, 96, apologies. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. But that was the odd one out. The rest of them weren't. And I did read, and they need to check up on this, that this could be also down to them around the memory controllers as well, the memory chips themselves, because it just seems a really weird spec bump to have all of these, non-traditional memory sets and then jump out with 128 gig as well. But more to the point, before we go any further, I mean, what the hell are you running on a laptop that requires 128 gig of memory, up to 8 terabytes of storage, and plus this, a 16/40 core chip as well?
You're wanting to store all your Linux ISOs in RAM. That's the only thing.
RAM at the same time, yeah. I mean, and what was, you had a look at the pricing on this, wasn't it? So what's that going to set me back?
Oh, I mean, if you go all in, everything, isn't it about £7,000?
I think that's, 7,000. I think it was $7,000+. I can't remember what the pounds was. I think probably slightly higher, about 7,500, wasn't it, on there?
We were speaking in chat about the base one, but I can't remember. I haven't written it down. I'm sure it was around like £1,700 for 8 gig of RAM, about,
yeah, yeah.
256 storage or something very low.
So the other big news around this was, by doing so, releasing these new machines, they also killed off a machine, didn't they?
They got rid of the old one. It never made sense. The 13-inch with the touch bar, didn't they? And the crappy butterfly keyboard.
It is indeed. The 13-inch MacBook Pro with touch bar is no more. Instead, we have in our lineup that goes 14-inch M3 chip base model, space gray and silver, and that's your bog standard entry level model, isn't it, really? Which, if, to be honest with you, that's really no better than a MacBook Air, but you get slightly better display, apparently.
Yeah, that was £1,700.
That's it.
8 and then, gig and 512, which, who's insane enough to buy that?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then we jump into this day and age. Well, this is where you'd have to argue yourself, do I have this or do I buy a MacBook Air? Because the MacBook Air gets spec bumped to an M3, you've got two similar machines, haven't you, really?
But again, we don't know how much better the M3 is than the M2 because Apple haven't released those figures yet.
No, they haven't. They haven't at all. And then, like I say, you've got the next model up, which is the Pro or Max chip in 14-inch, which gives you space black and silver. And then, obviously, we bump to the 16, which gives you exactly the same, but in a 16-inch model as well. So Apple have kind of, I guess, we've now completed the silicon transition, haven't we? Now it's done.
We have, yeah.
You know, but... Yeah, the interesting, I think you're right. The whole avoiding the M2 really kind of makes you start to wonder where the jump spec, the specs jumps here as well. Now, you know, the way I look at it is, I think for the majority of people, 9 out of 10 people, if you're running an M1 chip, an M3 chip, there's no need to upgrade, realistically, is there?
No, not at all. I mean, there were some bumps in the old GPU, weren't there? That they bought in. Apple's going gaming again. They bought in the hardware ray tracing because obviously we got that on the iPhone 15, didn't we?
We
got hardware ray tracing, a mesh shading. So they bought that obviously to the M3 chips. We've got what Apple calls dynamic caching. This apparently allocates use of local memory in hardware in real time and only uses the exact amount of memory needed for specific tasks. Just sounds like shared graphics memory to me, which doesn't it? I mean, it's a shared memory for everything on the M3 because it's all in there. It's not external memory, but they're touting that as a new feature. And they're basically saying, you know, the GPU in the M3 will deliver the same performance as the M1 at half the power or up to 65% more performance at its peak power.
I just... Look, gaming on the Mac is a very contentious piece here, isn't it? Now, I think if we forget gaming and talk more about video editing, then that's great. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? You know, that sounds really impressive, you know, and there's a whole, you know, suite of professionals out there who are probably going, this is quite an interesting upgrade here.
Yeah.
But for you, for your person in the street, excuse me, really, nobody's going to be going, ah, you know what? I need this M3 now because I was dying to play insert name of game.
Which it probably isn't available on the platform anyway.
Exactly.
No, I think it's... for your average consumer, the MacBook Air, I mean, because you can get that in, 13-inch, 15-inch?
Yeah.
Two or a third one? There's no 14-inch, is there?
No. I mean, look, MacBook Air, the new Space Black looks fantastic. It comes, you know, it's really nice looking. It's not really black, to be fair, because it's still a sort of anodized, isn't it? The only cool thing is that they've got a new black MagSafe connector as well.
Okay.
That's pretty sweet. But I think for me, you know, upgrading the iMac, because to me, the iMac is Apple's, you want a computer. I don't own anything. I need a computer. Off the shelf. Here you go. Take it away. And it is a nice looking machine. Now, I know we've talked a lot before about the 24-inch and the need for a bigger screen. And yeah,
we all want still no iMac Pro announced.
No, not at all. Not at all, but it will come. But I mean, this was a bit of a spec bump for the MacBook.
Yeah.
We also got the new. Oh, I don't know if you saw this as well. The Apple polishing cloth, by the way, that's been upgraded.
That's now
compatible with everything from the latest MacBooks through to the iMac and the MacBook Retina 12-inch edition from early 2015 as well. By the way,
and how much faster is it than the original version or the Intel version?
God knows.
The other big thing, though, wasn't it? It was the whole thing was shot on iPhone 15 Pro.
It was. Now, let's be clarifying this really clearly. It was shot on iPhone 15 Pro with all of the equipment needed to shoot professionally. So dollies, gimbals, lighting. And Apple put out a really good video, didn't they, on kind of behind the scenes?
Yeah.
But let's be honest, that wasn't your average video rig, was it, that they were sat in?
But it's the same, and this is why I've seen the arguments online, it's the same video rig they would have used if they were using a professional camera.
Correct.
Probably a £50,000 or £60,000 camera, not a £1,500 phone. I kind of think that's still an achievement to get that quality, because it still did look slick. I mean, I wouldn't have known it was shot on phone until they told me at the end. Yeah. Obviously, it wouldn't look too good without all the rigs. But then I would argue using a professional camera wouldn't look as good without all the lighting either.
No, agreed. I mean, and the other thing they had the rigs, didn't they, that with the USB-C Thunderbolt port that was pumping out
raw to the hard drive, wasn't it? Yeah.
And that was, I'd have to say, the video that they showed it on was impressive.
Yeah.
You know, it was impressive. And I think, you know, it kind of demonstrates the professional quality of the cameras that are there. They even had the iPhone clipped to the drone shot, didn't they? Did you see that?
No, I must have missed that one.
So they clipped the iPhone to the drone as well.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
Very impressive in that sense of things.
I'm not sure I want to do that myself.
No. But, you know, I think you're right. It really does demonstrate the how good these cameras really are, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So there we go. So absolutely, you know, impressive work there, but not quite what we expected from Apple from an event. I think, you know, we weren't really sure what was coming. The only thing I will say is they've still not updated certain devices with USB-C. There's a whole thing coming for the Magic Mouse, Magic Keyboard, and the trackpad have all still got lightning ports, haven't they? Which is really frustrating.
I thought it's still on the bottom of the mouse.
Don't go there. But there we go.
It still boggles my mind. Apple cares so much about ergonomics and all that kind of stuff, and then there's that. It's like they've just doubled down on it. No, it was not a mistake. We're going to keep it there. We will never admit it.
No, Apple are not going to change it. I guess the viewpoint from Apple is, if it ain't broke, don't fix. And
It's very broke.
I can't charge my mouse and use it at the same time.
Try sticking a lightning cable and then using it, and you'll have a broke lightning cable, potentially broke mouse.
It is a little bit nuts in that respect. There's no denying it. I guess, though, at some point, Apple will have to come out with a new mouse. Must do. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe when they redesign it, we'll get USB-C.
On the bottom or on the front? Or back?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, no, there'll be the Apple Watch. They're bringing out the True Power, or whatever they call it. And you charge via that. It'll just be a big desktop size one.
Yeah, probably will be. Oh, moving on. Right then, let's talk about X's new subscriptions then, because these things are weird.
So we have the $8 a month, don't we? The one that gives you the blue tick. Okay, so that's now being called, what are they calling that? Premium, I think they're calling it.
That's right,
Yeah. And that includes things like prioritized rankings, more posts between ads, more formatting options, video uploads. You can do longer messages, can't you? You can edit your messages as well, I believe. You can, yeah.
I understand you can. I don't pay for it, but I believe you can.
And then obviously they've introduced this in the Philippines and New Zealand, the £1 a year annual subscription, apparently aimed at tackling bot accounts. But that's a whole other subject. But yeah, they've introduced two new tiers. So we've got a basic and a premium plus. Okay, so basic, you get a lot of the features you do in company in premium, but you don't get your blue check mark. But you still get your things like edit posts, longer posts, undo posts, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're just not getting your verified check mark. For some reason, I did not write down what the pricing was.
I did have it somewhere. Hang on a second.
I was too busy trying to figure out what the difference was.
So basic is $3 a month.
That's it.
Premium plus.
Is it 16, isn't it? It's double.
Yes, I think that's it. Yes.
Okay, so the other thing you don't get in basic, you don't get Creator Hub. I'm not entirely sure what Creator Hub is, but you don't get it, and you do with premium and premium plus. So I was trying to think, what do you actually get with premium plus? And the only thing I can see is you actually get no ads. Once, but I thought that was meant to be a feature of premium.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, the idea of no ads does appeal to me.
Yeah, I think with premium you get less ads, with premium plus you get no ads, and apparently you get a larger reply boost over standard or normal premium. $16 a month is a lot.
Yeah, because so that's it. The current standard premium subscription was $8 a month, wasn't it? But
a lot.
I guess this is, you know, the way things are going with X, but still, for me, doesn't
$3 is a reasonable amount if you want the ability to put longer posts.
Yes, if you want long form,
and you don't care about verified or whatever. I think that's actually a reasonable price.
Yeah, that might be the only one that is reasonable, to be fair.
But you're still getting the same amount of ads as if you weren't paying.
Yeah, still doesn't, I have to be honest with you, still isn't going to tempt me anytime soon.
No, no, I'm still not willing to pay. Anything that one in New Zealand and the Philippines, the $1 a year annual subscription. If you don't pay for that, you can only get a read-only account.
Weird. You
know, I'm absolutely fine with that. I don't actually post on Twitter.
No, that's
both. So I wouldn't even hand over the dollar a year if they roll that out globally, and I'm pretty sure they will at some point.
Yeah, I guess that's probably going to come at some point, isn't it? Very true. But there you go, then. So Premium Plus and Basic now, but still ain't going to get some money from me, Elon.
Nope.
So sorry.
Not at all.
Right then, moving from that on to smart meters then. So you got a smart meter, haven't you?
I do not have a smart meter in the new house.
Oh.
No, I did in the old one. I do not in the new house.
I've got one, and quite frankly, it's terrible. So much so, it faces the wall because I can't bear to see it.
Is it just permanently in red?
Terrible. So there has a report come out by the Public Accounts Committee here in the UK that is saying that millions of smart meters are going to stop working when we turn off our legacy 2G and 3G mobile networks, which isn't that far away, is it, really?
It's not. So we've apparently got 32.4 million smart meters installed, or about 50% of the country's got them, okay? Which is, it's not bad. It's a bit of a slow rollout, but we're getting it. But it seems about, 7 million of those were built just 2G, 3G only, and no 4G or 5G capability. And our plans are to turn off 2G, 3G, there won't be any 2G or 3G support past 2033. I do believe some carriers and stuff will be turning that off earlier. So that just makes your expensive smart meter install basically dead.
Well, given that you need your smart meter to communicate the billing side of things.
Yeah, because they don't have figures on the front. I don't remember seeing that, did they?
What's that? No. What do you mean when you say figures on the front, you mean?
So you can't just go and read a manual reader meeting on a smart meter.
Mine can. You can press a button. So there's meter in the kind of I've got the little control unit that sits in the house, shows me how much money I'm spending.
Yeah.
And then the meter, obviously, that's in the garage. I can press a button on that, and it will show me how much the figures.
But where is it getting that from? The energy company or directly from your smart meter?
Well, the smart meter itself. I can read that off the smart meter in the garage.
Oh, so you can go into the garage. So I thought you were talking about the remote display.
The one on the wall, I can press the button on that and it will show me the figures. But
does. I couldn't remember. It's been a number of years since I had one. I couldn't quite remember.
But it still then defeats the object of having a smart meter, doesn't it? If you have to go manually read it.
Oh, massively. So MPs are not particularly happy about this, are they?
Just another classic technology rollout that nobody thought about, did they?
Well, yeah. But even when we started rolling this out, when was it? Maybe 10 years ago?
Oh, it's got to be. Because we're on the second generation of them as well, aren't we?
Yeah, well, the first generation were crap anyway. And I presume this is actually the first generation that were the problem.
I would suspect it must be. But I thought most of
them... they were only linked to one energy supplier, weren't they? And if you change energy supplier, you basically did a new meter putting in.
That's right, yeah.
So the version 2 allowed you to change suppliers, and I presume that brought 4G with it as well.
We hope.
Well, I hope. You're right. I really hope on that one. But yeah, so the MPs are kind of furious about this and want demanding answers and who's going to pick up the bill. Well, you know who's picking up the bill. One way or the other, it's me and you paying for this, isn't it? All of us are paying for
it.
Either via our energy bill.
It's always the same, my friend. Always the same.
Yeah.
So talking of smart things then, let's moving slightly on to Qualcomm then, who appeared to have released what they say is an Apple Silicon Beta, isn't it?
And this was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I wasn't kind of expecting this announcement, but they have announced the Snapdragon X Elite. And it's a brand new ARM chip. They bought Nuvia, didn't they? Nuvia about
that
3 years
sounds
ago.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? Yes.
For 1.4 billion, I think it was. And they were a lot of ex Apple engineers who worked on the A and M series chips who left Apple, formed Nuvia, Qualcomm bought them, Apple sued. Don't think they won that one. And now they're releasing a It's a laptop chip at the moment, not a desktop, but I'm sure we'll see it to come on it.
No, but it's pretty impressive, though, even a laptop chip.
It looks pretty good. I mean, it's not running the big little architecture. It's all big cores. So you're getting 12 what they call Orion cores. But so, yeah, all performance cores. They run at like 3.8 gigahertz all core. Or if you can boost them two cores up to 4.3 gigahertz. Up to 64 gig of LPDDR5X RAM. So that's pretty speedy. It's not as speedy as Apple's, because don't they quote, I want to say 400 gig a second?
Yeah, Apple does 400 gig memory bandwidth. But remember, that's Apple's is designed from the ground up, isn't it? This is, whilst this is as well, it's going to be very difficult to compete, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, they're only saying 136 gig. And it wasn't entirely sure whether that was on the on the chip, or whether being LPDDR5, maybe they're modules, which might explain why we've got a slower speed, but would allow you to upgrade. So I wasn't entirely clear on that one.
No, that wasn't clear, I don't think, in the presentation, at least.
They're talking about their Adreno GPU, which had a bit of a bump. It's apparently doing 4.6 teraflops of processing, DirectX 12. Much better display support than Apple.
Nothing new.
One internal 4K up to 120 hertz display, along with either three 4K external displays or two 5K external displays.
That's quite impressive.
That's not bad. It's all hardware accelerated.
Given what you need to get from Apple to get that kind of output.
Oh, exactly. And then that's obviously providing they give you enough ports. But it'll be USB-C. So as long as you've got enough USB-C or HDMI ports, you can make that work with your laptop, couldn't you? I'm sure.
Yeah. But interestingly, their best-in-class CPU and the multi-threaded performance and single-core performance that they talked about was initially specced against Intel, wasn't it, on the slides they produced?
It was, yeah.
They did give one about saying...
stuff leaked, wasn't there?
Yeah, they did say they're, according to them, they're 50% faster than the M2s, as you say, but...
In multi-threaded, though.
Yeah, but what they show with Intel looks to be a massive leap above the current Intel 13 series, wasn't it, that they talked about in their slides.
They were saying, twice the performance of the current i7-13550U, because we're talking laptops, aren't we, yeah? Hmm. So it's either twice at the same power or can match their performance while using 68% less power.
I think this could be a real improvement, given what's happening. Yeah. But the thing is, though, again, you know, we should. So the ARM revolution has started, really, hasn't it? I think it really has. But what we need to get, though, is native software performance running on ARM. That's the concern, isn't it?
Yeah, or a very good translation layer to help us get, like, Apple have got Rosetta,
I was just going to say, if Apple can do it with Rosetta, it can't be impossible.
No, well, Microsoft have released one, don't they? That will run x86 or x86-64. On ARM, was it probably a year or so ago? When we had the development kits come out, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but I've not really caught up with how well that one works at the moment. Maybe I need to. I'll have to look into that one.
You were saying, this could be a perfect work machine, you know.
Exactly. Even without the app capacity, a lot of my work stuff is browser-based. So you know what? It'd be absolutely fine. I'm sure it will fly. Obviously, you can tell they were doing the big pitch for AI stuff as well, because of course it's got NPU in it as well.
Of course it does. Everything has to do AI. AI or nothing. AI or a bust, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's got an NPU. It's got modem built in. They've all got an X65 5G modem built in with Wi-Fi 7 and Bluetooth 5.4. So that's certainly, I would argue, for a road warrior, you know, someone using it for work, that ability to have a 5G modem just in their laptop would be great.
It's going to say it's ticking all the right boxes again, but you know, software is going to be the problem, isn't it, ultimately?
Yeah, exactly. And I'd say they've got a decent image signal processor, it will do 64 megapixel cameras and 4K HDR for you. So we might get a decent webcam, maybe. PCI Express 4 NVMe SSDs, a bunch of USB 4 ports, plus, you know, the older 3.2s, 4 nanometer, mid-2024 apparently. So it's probably not going to be till has a Christmas kind of time of 2024 before we actually see laptops, and Apple will be on the M4 by then. So who knows how it will compare?
It'll be interesting to see, though, what the benchmarks are when they come out.
Yeah, it will be very interesting. So, yeah, we've only had Qualcomm's announcement, but they'll say there were some Geekbench ones. Well, some entries appeared in the Geekbench database for this chip, and it was saying, yeah, definitely faster multi-threaded than the M2, but the single thread wasn't as good.
Still, it is progress, though, compared to what we have had in the past from the ARM versus x86 chips in terms of mainstream rather than niche applications. But I'm impressed. Yeah, I am as well. Really could be. I think could be a real game changer this if it's as good as it appears on paper.
Yeah, I don't mind. I love the performance and power efficiency of Apple. I just don't like OS X, or Mac OS, I should say, as it's called now. Just don't like it. I like the hardware. I like, the battery life. Don't like the OS.
Be quiet, you heathen. Be quiet.
No, I'm Windows through and through. It's the best tool for me, not for everyone.
Yeah, no. Fair play.
Then I have an iPhone, not an Android phone. So I'm a...
Well...
Because that's the best OS on a phone for me.
It is. On that note, then, talking around Apple, it turns out Apple have taken their Apple Buy Now, Pay Later offering that they had in the US is now apparently out of early access. But I was convinced this was released.
No, it was announced before iOS 16, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we're on 17 now. But no, apparently in, I want to say, March, it went what they called early access. I think you can kind of sign up for it if you qualify, but now it's generally available for everyone, and it's
so this is their take on the sort of Klarna and other people.
Yeah, very short term. You know, you can basically when you do your purchase, you choose pay now, later, whatever it is, and it splits up into four equal payments. So the initial payment is you pay when you actually buy the item. Say, and then another payment every 14 days over 6 weeks. 0% interest, though. So that's
and you don't need the Apple card for this, do you, I believe?
No, I don't think you do. I couldn't see it said you do. So, yeah, I think it's handy. But it's an interesting for Apple to kind of get into that game. But I suppose they kind of do something similar with the iPhone upgrade program.
Oh, don't get me started about that. But yes, definitely, I guess they do. And I mean, the problem is there's a whole, I won't go down that rabbit hole now, but there's a whole kind of issue, isn't there, with these buy now pay later services and how they could be increasing consumer debt and putting a whole generation of people into, you know, into money problems. I'm not going to get into that at this second. No. I guess if you are, for some people it may be the right approach, you know, it might be useful, but it is something I guess you have to be careful about if you're using. But Apple, I suppose, what makes sense for them to have it there, especially if you're paying on your phone and you can tie in your financial services into the phone.
Yep.
Then why not? It's a great tool to use, really, isn't it?
I'd still just like to see Apple Card in this country.
Well, yeah, I would as well, but I just don't think it's going to happen, is it, given the regulations?
Who runs it now? Is it
It's still the same, is it? It's still Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley,
but I think they're looking to get out of it, aren't they? Because they're not.
Well, there was talks, wasn't there? They were trying to get rid of them to American Express, wasn't it? But I don't see, given the money that they lost. Well, yeah, there is that.
I mean, they've got enough money, surely.
Possibly, given they have, you know, trillions in the bank. But I'm not entirely sure we're ever going to see that. To be fair, but it would be nice. It would be nice.
A shame. Oh, right, on to gaming.
Cool. So Forza then. We've been playing. Well, you've been playing more than me, but Forza is our current game of the month, isn't it?
It is indeed. So it finally released back in
October.
10th of October.
Yeah,
wasn't it? So it's been out a couple of weeks now. I'd say it was not the best of launches. And still with some good patches. I say I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. It's very much like Gran Turismo, isn't it? I'm enjoying the career mode and working my way up. Loving that one. The performance and the graphics aren't
something
amazing.
Has debatable.
Sorry, I missed that.
I said it's debatable at the moment, the performance
and
the graphics.
I would say it doesn't look as good as Horizon 5. And it doesn't run as well as Horizon 5 on the same hardware. Which is odd, because if you just put the two down on what they are, I would have said Horizon 5 is a more demanding game. You've got a lot more going on screen, cars flying everywhere if you're doing off-roading. But I suppose Forza Motorsport is running the simulation, the physics stuff, isn't it, more accurately? So maybe that's taking its toll. But yeah, it just doesn't look as good to me. And it doesn't... I mean, I'm getting 60 frames a second if I'm lucky.
I mean, let's be clear, you're running a 3090.
Yeah.
you know, 3070 Ti, obviously here. I had to drop mine down to medium. I had it on high, what was it, at the top end one with a couple of tweaks. And I was getting texture issues, as in...
Oh, I'm still getting that. Occasionally, yeah.
The road disappears.
Well, it's not that bad. I had the odd, like, livery on a car disappear and stuff like that, or whatever it was termed, pink.
Well, having the road disappear was slightly more frustrating, because, you know, like, where am I driving?
Where I go, yeah.
But so turning it down has solved that problem. I like the game. I think the game's great. Your point around, is it Gran Turismo or more like Gran Turismo? 100% is it. I mean, yeah. I don't think I've played a motorway game for us that has kind of made all me I thought about was Gran Turismo. I mean, the tracks that we're doing, the leveling up, it is, yeah, that's not a bad thing at all. I'm not going to complain, but I find it frustrating, I think, at times.
Let's talk about that leveling up, because this is the bit I find frustrating and annoying, okay? And some of it I can get on with, but some of it I'm just very frustrated about why I've made decisions. So it seems that each car you purchase or whatever has levels of it, okay? That's and those right. levels yep. you only unlock by driving it more. And then when you reach a certain level, it unlocks parts you can buy, okay? Great. Well, I don't have a problem with that part of it. But those parts, those upgrades, like bigger wheels, better brakes, more turbos, whatever, you can only buy with CP, which I'm going to presume means car points.
I think it does. Well, CXP, isn't there, as well?
There is, but this is just CP, okay? But you can only earn that by racing with that car, okay? But the CP that you win by racing can only be used on that car it was won with. So right. it makes, even though I've got, what, at the moment, just under $2 million or whatever the currency is, sitting in the game, I can't use that to actually upgrade any of my cars. I can only use it to buy new cars, which correct. I then have to start the process again of souping them up.
I find that highly frustrating, and it really takes away from me the thing. It feels like I see why they've done it. I get it. Because they want you to build and grow with that car and
but that's
learn,
what the levels are for. Then let me, once I've unlocked the parts via up by driving the car more and upgrading the levels, let me buy it of the money I've earned. You didn't give me the money. I earned it by winning races.
It is frustrating. And I think for me, it just takes a lot. It takes a little bit out of it, doesn't it? For the
It turns into a lot more of a grind.
Yes, 100%. It does feel massively like a grind, and I don't know. Maybe it's just me lately, but I don't want instant gratification. Don't get me wrong. I want to have a game enjoying.
That's why I'm happy with the leveling up of cars. I just disagree with the car points thing.
Yeah, and you know, we'll on the next show we'll talk a bit more about City Skylines 2, which is the other game that's come out recently, which I have had a bit of a negative experience with. But it's a good game. It's a really good game. Yeah. I need to get more into it, personally speaking. I think, as you say, you know, for a car performance game, it's really enjoyable. Now, it'd be nice once they've patched it a little bit more. Hopefully, we'll get a bit more playability out of it.
The only had some issues with doing multiplayer.
That's the other negative that's going to say, for me at least, is the multiplayer side is where the hell is the AI, you know?
Talking of multiplayer, okay, so you can have the private multiplayer, you and your friends, but as you mentioned, there's no AI. So it was just me and you playing. It's just me on the track. You know, we've got 22 other spots with no one in them, which is makes it kind of an empty game. But then if you go online, you can't do a kind of an instant race, can you? They have set times for races to go off. And quite often you've got 20 minutes wait before the main race starts. And in that time you can do practice and you can do qualifier to get your space on the grid. But yeah. Sometimes I just want to jump into a multiplayer race and not have to wait 20 minutes to do it. And providing it doesn't crash.
And like before, we had the opportunity to play it with as you say, with AI, we could run our own races. We could have AI and also, real people in it. I just want that. I just want to be able to do that. I shouldn't have to.
No.
I shouldn't have to wait 20 minutes to play with, you know, other people that, quite frankly, I'm not interested in playing with.
No, I don't actually want to play them because I've done a fair few the online now. Yeah, so we were saying, as with all these online ones, we're playing people you don't know. You get a real kind of mixture, don't you? And I've been in a fair few races where people are just barging you out the way and running you off the track, or you know, you brake for a corner and they just go full speed, 150 miles per hour, straight up at the back of your car.
Yeah, it's not an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. And it's not, and they don't always seem to get a penalty for that. The penalty system seems to be a bit hit the miss.
Doesn't it just? It really does, I have to say. Yeah, sometimes you kind of go off the track and you get nothing. Next time you basically look at the rumble strip and you're given a 30-second penalty or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that one about going off track is more to do with, did you gain an advantage or not?
Possibly so.
Did you jump a space? Then you probably get a penalty for it. But I don't think the penalties are big enough. The penalties only seem to be like, I think the most penalty I've had driving really badly, not online, I mean, as in even a single player game, was about 0.8 of a second.
Yeah, really well. Really odd game. But apart from that,
but the whole ramming and crashing professional thing, I've not really seen anyone get very much at all on that. And they kind of run you off and that ruins your entire race. You've lost it. You're at the back and you're not gaining it again.
No. Okay, well, I think more to be played. But early indications are it's definitely a good game, isn't it? A successful game.
Yeah. And we just need another 22 friends.
I struggle with two, but anyway. on that note. Right then, what have we got in the room wheel this week?
Well, it's a very ARMY week this week. So we've had the Apple with their new ARM chips. We've had Qualcomm with its Snapdragon ARM chips. And not to be left out, NVIDIA and AMD are also getting into the game. They've kind of a report from Reuters suggests that both of them are gearing up to build their own ARM CPUs to power Windows PCs. They're due as soon as 2025, so not long after Qualcomm will apparently release theirs. There's zero information other than that at the moment on that, but we do know Intel have basically gone, I'm not worried about ARM. We're carrying on with x86.
I love Pat's Pat Gelsinger's, you know, absolute belief and confidence in himself that nobody's going to challenge him.
Yep. But we'll build your ARM chips for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
We'll fab them and take the money, but we're not going to build
them. We're not worried about you. We're not worried about you, but we'll quite happily take your business. That is no problem at all from where we sit. Yeah. But
I think if NVIDIA and ARM, and I'd be very interested to see NVIDIA's take on it. Because if you could build NVIDIA's current stuff with a kick-ass CPU as well, that could be a very compelling offer.
That could be very impressive, couldn't it, really?
But it's NVIDIA, so it'll be ridiculously expensive.
That's very true. But it'll be great for AI work.
No, they'll look at Apple and go, hold my cup. Yeah. Hold my beer, I should say. You ain't seen nothing yet.
No, that's very true. But okay, well, I guess, yeah, why not? You know, it would be impressive. And I think, you know, as I said, the dawn of ARM for mainstream use is here. It's happening. We are seeing more and more of it. Getting NVIDIA and AMD in that ring as well, I think we, again, just push it forward even more so than what we've seen previously. But yeah,
I think with NVIDIA and AMD, for Windows, you're likely to get much better driver support. I mean, Qualcomm's driver support is questionable even on Android.
True. AMD would not have that problem at all.
NVIDIA and AMD, you're going to get some consistent drivers. It will be supported for quite a few generations, I imagine.
Which is what it needs to be honest, to be viable.
Be mainstream.
Well, I think then on that note, then that's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. Then we'll be back next week for episode 149 for all of the latest from the tech stories. It may be a week or so's time, given some travel constraints. But of course, you can still find us on X. Yes, we are still there. Weekly Tech Rant. All of our show notes at techrant.online. Of course, we'd love to hear what you've got to say about the show or any thoughts on stories for this week. And with that, then, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good day, all.